welcome to another episode of Suck. I am Kaya, and I'm here with Jay.
What is up, guys?
We're so ready to talk about this episode. It's the first episode without Logan Roy, RIP to the OG, and I don't know how to feel about it. Like,
I want to start it off with this, Kaya. Like, and I felt this way last night. Succession feels a little off. It feels a little weird. It doesn't mean that the show has lost its value. It doesn't mean that the show isn't as exciting as it has been. Obviously, we're coming off of probably the biggest shocker episode in the series, but did you have that feeling too? Like, I just felt like it felt a little like, I don't know, like it's lost its center of gravity.
For sure. I remember even saying, like, it does, like, even the camera angles feel different. And some of the actual, like, writing feels a little bit different. It just feels like, yo, we lost Logan and we don't know where we're going. And maybe it's done on purpose. Maybe it's a little bit like, hey, you're going to feel the loss of this, like, power force of the show.
Totally.
Or even if it's not on purpose, it's like, yo, what's going on? Because obviously Greg had, like, a bunch of funny one-liners, but then that whole scene with Carrie, it just felt a little outside of what Succession would normally do.
Yeah, let's come back to that scene, because I think it felt very, like, comedic in a way that the show doesn't usually go. But yeah, last night felt a little bit all over the place, a little unmoored, where Logan's presence was very much so still felt in that piece of paper that was left behind that they just had to pull everybody in and discuss. But it does feel like every episode prior, Brian Cox, you know, Logan Roy really had a strong grip on the plot of the show. He was the glue that kept everything together, that kept pushing things forward. And we talked about this in the last episode of our podcast, that now the show has put a challenge for itself forward, and they need to work their way out of it. So I think that's a lot of what we felt. I think there's this element now to it of the kids, the Roy kids versus the corporate elite squad is what I'm calling them. Frank and Carl, Jerry, Tom, and I found this really interesting from, like, a character perspective, and I'm interested to hear what you think, Kaya, but it feels like it's every man for themselves, but the corporate squad is still very much so rooting, like, still going very much so going about their business as if nothing happened.
And ain't that the way the cookie crumbles? Is like, even when they were talking to the Gojo guy's assistant, they're like, do you know what happened yesterday? Gosh, yeah. And they're like, yeah, sorry about that, but do you want to come over? But it was just very weird.
Business as usual.
Aspect. Yeah. And then I would say I loved seeing the kids huddle together all the way up until we found out that it was Kendall on the piece of paper. And I feel like that's really what made them, it was like the kids versus the corporate people, but then now it's like the kids versus each other.
Totally. And I think it's, like, still a great, it's a great moment of seeing as well that one of Logan's biggest flaws from a business perspective was that he never had concrete succession plans. And finally this piece of paper is found. And I think this was actually really funny. Like, I was cracking up during that whole conversation, because you look at the line through Logan's or through Kendall's name, and you're not sure if it's an underline
through or under
or a strikeout. So it's, again, one of those things where even in death, Logan can't make up his mind about who should take over the company. I love, just want to call this out, that Greg is on that piece of paper written in pencil with a question mark.
Same.
And I think the best line was when he said, well, nonetheless, I am on it. Like,
And that kind of is true. Like, nonetheless, what did he think about Greg, and why was he written down? Why was there a question mark? What was he thinking? You know,
we'll never know. We'll never know.
We find out that Shiv is pregnant, which was a lot of the speculation of last season. But I think that speculation died down because it wasn't revealed in the first, second, and obviously the third episode was dedicated to, you know, the death of Logan. And it's kind of like that old saying, it's like, you make way for one person by losing another. So we lost Logan, but we have, you know, this new generation Roy
100%.
Coming, even though Kendall obviously has kids, but Shiv is pregnant, and that is huge because her and Tom are split, and they have those moments on the stairs where, okay, I want to know, do you want them to get back together?
I don't know if I want them to get back together. I think it's interesting to see Tom in this position where he had become Logan's right-hand man. He had finally clawed his way up this tower to this incredible position of authority, and all within one episode, all within 50 minutes, essentially, he's lost it all. And we really see him grovel in this episode. He continues to go to from person to person and say, you know, I'm here to serve. And I think that the show could be setting itself up for Tom as the character, his way to redemption in many ways, his way back up the power chain is to get back together with Shiv. And I think the fact that she's pregnant is a really interesting counterbalance to where Tom is right now as a character. But it's also interesting that Shiv hasn't told him. Why why do you think that is?
Because she doesn't want to be with him. And people would probably disagree with me by the way, how emotional that she got when they were speaking. But at the same time, she's emotional because one, she's pregnant, two, she just lost her father. And now they have to figure out who's going to take over the company. And now Shiv is kind of out in the cold.
I do find it interesting, like, about Shiv being out in the cold here, that at least for this episode, it seems that the current kind of succession plan is, as of right now, the most logical setup.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is Kendall as the CEO, Roman as the COO. Well, I don't know if that's officially how they frame it, but it seems that Kendall and Roman,
co-CEOs.
And Kendall and Roman, like, co-running the company makes the most logical sense from if this was like a real business out in the world, right? And seeing Shiv get cut out, although tragic because in many ways she is maybe the smartest out of all three of them, she doesn't have that direct experience. So it really doesn't make sense from a strictly business perspective. And you kind of see the other board members back up that claim. And she does leave, right? Like she walks out. So I guess, do you see a redemption arc for her where she does end up with the top position eventually? Like, what do you think would need to happen for her to get back there?
I feel like Shiv hasn't shown all of her cards yet. She may have something up her sleeve, or she may come to that same realization that she kind of does need Tom and she has to team up with him and they figure this shit out. I agree with you. Roman and Kendall make the most sense, but if it comes down to one person, I know I'm a flip-flopping ass bitch, but I'm going to have to say it's my baby Kendall again, because we see that he's become a killer at the end of the episode when he's like, oh, you know, the bad shit about my dad.
Yep.
Put that out. And we see that smirk, that sick little smirk on his face.
Yeah. So. And Kendall's made mistakes throughout the show, obviously. I mean, he's even killed somebody, but he is also the way the show has positioned. The way that the show has positioned him, he really is set up as the next CEO of the company. So it is interesting to see him starting to kind of make moves in his own way. talking to
since,
Stewie.
Since last episode, as soon as his dad died, 100%. He was making an executive decision.
100%. And you see the kind of weight of it all rest on his shoulders. I think in previous episodes, previous seasons, that pressure breaks him. I think what we're seeing now that's different is that he seems to be handling it quite well. And what we see at the end of this episode and that smile, I don't think we've seen that smile from Jeremy Strong ever on this show. And the way he looks at Hugo and says, no, let's make the right move here. This is what my father would have wanted. Let's put it out there that, you know, I've been running the show for the past couple months. I think it's really powerful to see. And it feels good to see Kendall kind of getting the pep back in his step.
Do you think that he has a different sort of confidence because his dad is dead? So he doesn't have that looming over his head. As horrible as it sounds, I feel like that is something that is that we've never had before. He's been in that position so many times to take over the company, but he's always had like Logan there to snatch it back when he fucks up or to prevent him from getting it. But now it's like, I'm on this piece of paper. Logan is no longer here. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I think Kendall has spent a lot of time seeking revenge on Succession. And we've seen these moments of him actually having like coherent business strength.
Yeah.
We see it in the first season with how he handles that media company that they were taking over. We also see it with the Pierce deal. We see it even at the beginning of this season and the way they talk about the 100 or whatever that startup was going to be. So I think it's interesting now that Logan's out of the way, it does feel like Kendall is freer and more fluid in his decision making and his thinking, which is great for him. I also, and I saw this online, I wanted to hear your thoughts, that this episode they also started dressing him similar to season one a little bit more when he was first aggressively trying to become the CEO, and they're starting to kind of have these very subtle mirror moments back to that first season of Kendall kind of getting his swagger back.
They did. I feel like he's more corporate-y, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they did. I'm noticing it now. Even when he just had that moment where he like just chokes up in front of Stewie, I'm still like, this is someone who can handle this business and what's going on. But right. I'm wondering, are they going to like, which obviously it's not over till it's over. Like there's no way in the fourth episode, this is interim, quote unquote. So what are they going to do? Are they going to have Kendall be strong and have Roman be strong and go on that upwards path? Or are they going to have him inevitably always get in the way of himself? Because he's done that season after season.
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that there's a lot of TV left here. There's a lot of episodes. It's unclear how the Gojo deal will go down. It seems that everybody still wants it to happen for the most part. They want to sell the company for parts, keep ATN, buy Pierce, and create like a new news powerhouse. I don't know. I feel like it's a little we don't know yet what's going to happen. I think there's no necessarily like any indication of any of the other kind of satellite characters stepping up and taking over. Maybe it will happen like for an episode or two, but there is a part of me after watching this episode that thinks that Kendall will end up as the CEO. That this is really his journey at the end of the day, and everybody else kind of floats around him as a character.
Do we think that that's too easy or too obvious, or
could be?
Is it coming to what it should be? Because realistically, that's what it should be. It just should be Kendall.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that's what the show has always hinted at. I think now that Logan is dead, like I would love to watch you know, 8 or 9 more episodes of Kendall becoming the CEO and then having to run the company as himself. So I don't know, but at the same time, all of these kind of corporate elites are waiting in the wings. And I got to say, I do want to shout out Frank and Carl and Jerry in this episode, because these minor characters that we've seen from episode to episode are finally getting more screen time with Logan gone. And it's super refreshing. It's great to see Carl give Tom all the harsh truths as to why he can't ever be the CEO. Oh my
God, that was gut-wrenching right there.
Yeah, and see Frank, you know, make jokes about having that piece of paper fall into a toilet.
Right.
And even Jerry telling Tom, you know, how are you feeling? Oh, you know, pretty melancholy, or pretty full of grief. It's like, well, you don't want to get your melancholy all over the floor or whatever while you're eating that fish taco, or like just like a classic Jerry moment. And I actually noticed this in this episode. I want to ask you about it, Kaya. Do you feel like Jerry has taken a new edge now that she's distanced herself from Roman?
Jerry does not give a fuck. Like, she is on her boss bitch kind of shit. And I won't be surprised if Jerry is also a contender coming up. I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't count out people on the outside. We shouldn't count out Tom. We shouldn't count out Jerry.
Sorry. I'll let you finish.
Oh, I was just going to bring up Hugo with
Hugo.
his daughter selling those stocks.
And just openly Kindle, doing insider trading.
Kendall is like, well, what are the phone records going to say? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I haven't had a good relationship with her. And I'm like, what? And then Colin in his jeans.
Oh my gosh. Well, so I do think that there is also an aspect of this show that we're seeing more clearly defined, that there's a difference between the Roys and the people that work for the company around them that are very clearly rich, but not rich like the Roys. And there's a difference. Right. And you see it in their actions. You see it in the way Carl is trying to buy an island with his brother-in-law, and he feels way over his head. Like, Roman would not feel that way buying an island off the coast of Greece or whatever. Like, he would be completely calm about it. So I think that there's still this divide between the people that used Logan as a tool. Right. They're 100% all vultures. And I think they will continue to play the game till the very end.
Hell yeah. And
I cannot wait to see that.
And then also, is that the Pierce dude, and he rolls up and then the daughter is like, he's very distraught over it. And you just see him in the wheelchair with no emotion.
You mean Sandy? Yeah, not Sandy. I don't think that's Pierce. Okay,
that's Sandy. Oh my God. That was so funny and not funny at the same time. And it's just like,
he winked at me.
Everyone is literally so low down. And like, honestly, disgusting. It's been a day since their father passed, and it's just everyone is just trying to get ahead of themselves. And who is that guy who decided to take it upon himself and make a speech?
Like, oh my God, that was so funny. Well, and I think that also is just like a representation of like how, when these very public facing people in the media pass away, there's all these different kinds of obituaries and memorializing, and people of power especially are given such accolades and such praise when they pass, when the reality is most people did not like Logan Roy. Most people did not enjoy working for Logan Roy. Most people looked at him as a real menace to society. And yet when he passes away, there's still this respect.
They want to be in the footnotes for the wealth. Also. Right. Yeah, yeah, they want to be like mentioned, just like Tom. Like, it's important that, you know, they were there when it happened and after it happened. And even the contenders for the election are like trying to turn their planes around and come back and be there. And it just shows just how much power that it's like you can get to a point where you have so much money that you don't care who the president is. Like,
100%.
You don't give a fuck about any of this or being on any side, because I'm always going to be rich. It doesn't affect me.
And speaking of the class divide, Kaya, let's get into it. Carrie and Marsha as well.
Marsha shined this episode. I don't care.
Marsha is back.
Marsha is back and badder than ever. She done sold her house before the will he's read.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
For 63.
Yeah.
And then Willa is there with her mom, like, oh, we're gonna open this up a bit. And I'm just like, what is going on? And Marsha, okay, so Carrie shows up, which is very uncharacteristic for Succession. It kind of took me out of the show for a bit. And she's trying to go upstairs, and Marsha's like, don't let her go upstairs. And then she drops her purse, and then Roman is the one who always has the emotion, like, you know, treat her as a person. But at the same time, I'm like, no, fuck that. Carrie fumbled the bag. You always know when you're dating someone who's like over 80 years old and you're a sugar baby, you got to get it in that will as soon as you can. Okay. she's been around what, 2 seasons now, and you're not in the will? There's no reason you should be scurrying and trying to get your bag of pills from upstairs. And Marsha's like, no, bitch, you're going to get out of my house. Everyone is going hard on Marsha's, including you. You're like, Marsha's annoying. And I'm like, actually, no, because she's Carrie has some nerve. Marsha's coming back from shopping in Italy or wherever she is. And she's like, yeah, I'm here. This is my house. This was my husband. Don't you dare.
We talked intimately every night.
Right. Like, and then Carrie's like, oh, he was gonna marry me. It's like, girl, as soon as you got with this man, in 2 weeks you should have been married. Have you learned nothing from Anna Nicole? Like, what are you doing right now? You're embarrassing yourself. And Marsha's like, oh, we're gonna put her in a taxi so she can go to the subway to her little apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was a read of all, like, of all of Succession. That was a read from Marsha. Like,
okay. It
was beautiful.
Kaya, you just changed completely my opinion on Carrie, because I look at Marsha, Willa, and Carrie as almost the same character, but in 3 different stages of, like, being a badass savage, right? You have Carrie on the far end of the spectrum that can't get her act together to actually get any of the benefits of dating Logan or a really, really, really wealthy person.
Her rubber arms.
Yep. You have Willa, who's in the middle, who hasn't quite made up her mind if she's in all the way or not. Like, she always represents the person that's on the fence of, like, well, should I just marry this guy for his money?
Right.
Should I put up with everything? I don't know. Fuck it. Fuck it. Right? Like, fuck
but
it.
Now she's in because
now she's so perfect.
Now she's in because they got married, and I think that's how Carrie is what you don't want to be, and Willa is what you want to be, because she's in all the way. And then she had that conversation with Marsha where she's like, "Oh, we're kind of the same person," and they are.
So Marsha's on the far end of the spectrum, on the side of badass savage, where she is so deep within the relationship now that she's shopping in Italy.
Right.
She's having a great life, and she's earning from it. She's made all of this money, apparently, from being married to
Logan. When he was alive and after he passed,
exactly.
She's still making money by 100%. Selling his house. And also, you know what else we didn't talk about is they talked about how he passed in this episode. So it was a pulmonary embolism, apparently.
Interesting.
According to Kendall. And then when Tom was joking around, I don't know if it's true or not, he was like, oh, he was fishing for his iPhone in the toilet when he passed. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. He's like, Carl blocked it or something like that. It was so funny, but also interesting. I don't know, but it was definitely an episode of Succession that is like, okay, the next few episodes are going to be so crucial because this one shows that they've kind of like played their hand. And it's there's always an episode of Succession where me and you both are like, I don't know if they can pull this off, and they end up pulling it off.
Totally. Well, I think this was like a setup episode, right? They're reshuffling the cards to bring this show in for a close. We're seeing Marsha coming back into the fold. She definitely has moves left that she wants to make. We keep hearing about, you know, the election coming up, and Connor, who's still running, is one element of that, but also the incoming, what everybody thinks will be the president, you know, was very close with Logan and had a lot of deals, kind of handshake deals there. So I think there's something to be said that will be happening there around the news network. We have the Gojo deal that still needs to potentially close or not. We have the Pierce family and their sale that they want to do with the siblings.
Right.
Shiv is pregnant. Kendall seems to have his head on straight. Roman, I think is one of the few people that has truly repressed his feelings about his father dying that we see. And he's repressed his feelings and he needs to come to terms with it.
Yeah. Do we think that him and Jerry will ever get back to Jerry and Roman? Or is that ship
sailed? I think that ship has far sailed. I think we're going to see. I think what I think will be the most satisfying to see at the end of this will be like Jerry really just like knives out, going for it, going for the top role, fighting with Carl, fighting with Frank, like just fighting with the kids.
Because for a while she was CEO, even though, you know,
right, 100%.
But now she doesn't even have Logan there looming over. She doesn't have, again, this presence looming over her. She can just go and like see what she knows. And there's just so much that they can do with Jerry's character.
Totally. I think there's a lot of battles left to happen on this show. A lot of battles.
It's almost like the season is literally about to begin.
Yeah, I do agree. I think people will remember this last season as, and this is my prediction / hot take, but the first three episodes almost as like a mini season, like part one of the kids finally getting their revenge back on their dad by delaying this deal to try to get more money, and then him suddenly dying. And I think the rest of this season will be who will truly be the person to take over the company, to be the winner of Succession, essentially. I hope that question's answered. We've talked about this before on the podcast. Like, do you think this series can end with that question not being answered, where the final credits roll and we don't know who is the everlasting, or the next, at least for now, the next CEO of Waystar?
It can, and only because it's not, remember when we were talking about, is it that kind of show or is it not that kind of show, where it's like, is it a serious show or is it a serious show with some funny moments in it? And it's a serious show with funny moments in it. I feel like they can pull it off because it would actually be in their character of writing to kind of leave you with some questions. Because that's what I also wanted to bring up, is that a lot of the dialogue is not direct. It's a lot of talk around, what are they talking about, suggested kind of dialogue. It's like you never really know what they're saying, and they don't say it directly. Even the way the kids speak to each other, it's like leaving these spaces open. So if they left that space open, I would be mad, but it would actually work. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think there's sometimes I'm watching the show, I'm like, oh, I just wish that we could get to the bottom of like who will take over this company at the end of the day. I do think it's more of a character study as a show. I think it's less of the question of like who will succeed Logan Roy, and more of what does it take to be someone like Logan Roy? Like, what does it take to be that ruthless? And what does it take for all these characters to become their own version of Logan Roy? So for that reason, I don't think there needs to be a definitive answer, but I would like to see.
Yeah, I would like to see it.
I would like to see it. And I would like to see like certain characters, Kendall specifically, finish their character arc as being more like their father but recognizing that they don't need to be successful. I think there's something interesting to be said about that.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's a good point. That is a good point.
That's so like psychoanalysis.
Yeah, that is. I'm like, wait, that's deep. But you know, that's Succession for you guys. Well, I want to know, like, for our listeners, do you think that it was underlined or do you think that it was
struck out? And what else was on that piece of paper? Because I saw some images online over the last 24 hours of people trying to like zoom in and crop it and like what did he say on it? Why does Greg have a question mark? Right. I think the whole point of that piece of paper is to represent, even in Logan's death, there's still ambiguity.
Yeah.
Right. It's an unknown as to what he really at the end of the day wanted for his company after his passing, which I think is also like says something interesting about his character too, where he's so selfish. He's such a like corporate monster that he could do all these crazy, big, powerful deals. He can make things happen. He can shake up a newsroom, you know, in his old age, but he can't figure out who to replace him because in his own mind,
can you blame
it's
him?
Just him.
Can you blame him though? Because who, like he said, like, I love you all. And I want to tell them, the Roy siblings, like, I love you all, but you are not serious people. And that has become the burn of the century. Oh, like, you God. Are not
forever,
serious
forever
people.
In our memes, forever in our memes.
Exactly. So it's like, who should he even give it to? I can't blame him for not knowing until literally the day that he left the earth and he was literally beefing with his own children.
Yeah. It's crazy. So I guess to wrap up this podcast, Kaya, predictions for the next episode, predictions for how this show comes in for a landing.
Ooh, that's hard to know. I think the first part, it'll definitely be all about the Gojo deal, the Pierce deal. And I think that maybe we're either going to get I feel like we're going to get Kendall and Roman like going against each other, because Kendall's going to, in his mind, he is CEO, right? But at the same time,
right.
Roman was closer to Logan and actually knew a lot more than his siblings. So that's what it's going to be about in the next episode. And then as far as where it lands, it's just too early to say, because we've never had this many episodes left after something so huge happens. What do you think?
It's true. I think the only prediction I can make with a lot of certainty is we're going to see Kendall look more and more like Logan. We're going to see him transform more and more into his father, into the savage that he always wanted his father to see him as, but never could. And there was that element too in this episode of who was it? Frank, who told Kendall, you know, Kendall's looking at that piece of paper saying like, oh my God, like at one point my dad legitimately did want me to be the next CEO. And I think that just that.
And his name, it was so powerful. Right. It said Kendall Logan Roy.
Exactly. And I think just Kendall seeing that in that, and it was a beautiful scene, but I think it really did unlock something within Kendall. I think we really see in that scene, Kendall realize, oh, like it really has always been me. And I do have the skills to take this over. And I do have my dad's blessing. I just always got in my own way. And I always misinterpreted things, or, you know, because I could never forgive my father for the person that he was, I had to do these things. And
he made me hate him and then he died.
Yeah. One of the most powerful lines, I think, of the whole season so far. Yeah. And I think for all that, those reasons, and you see it in Kendall's face. And again, another masterful performance by Jeremy Strong, but you see it in Kendall's face that he's realizing, oh, I can actually do this. Mm-hmm. I can actually do this. And this time it's different because my dad isn't here. So
exactly.
That I think is where the show is heading.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Kendall moving into his own. Of course, along the way, there'll be a lot of bumps and surprises and twists and turns. And, you know, we still need to actually see the Gojo deal go down, if it happens at all, off in their Swedish retreat. So we know at least that they're, it looks like that the rest of the season could very well take place in some like Swedish, beautiful, what do they call it? They're doing like an offsite or like a getaway or whatever, a corporate retreat. And yes. The Roys are coming to town to shake things up. So as always, we will be here with you every episode, except not for the next 2 weeks.
Tell the people.
Yes, I am heading out of town, out of the country, actually, for 2 weeks. So we won't be able to record then, but when I'm back, we'll do some catch-up episodes. We'll put out probably a longer episode, kind of catching up on everything that's happened. But as always, follow along on our Instagram page. Thank you, as always, for listening.